explains that God has revealed himself clearly. He has revealed his power. He has revealed his nature. He has revealed his majesty. All of it is written in the skies and in the creation around us. Nobody has to guess whether God exists or not. He has made himself known. But instead of honoring him or thanking him, so often as humanity is, we are born into sin, we have turned away from him. Instead of worshiping God, we worship the things that he made, and those things become more important than him. In other words, we've traded the fountain of living water for broken cisterns. We've traded the creator for the creation. And it wasn't simply, oh, oops, innocent mistake. It was a deliberate exchange that Paul is telling us about here. In other words, we have seen his glory, we have seen his power, we have seen his fingerprints in creation around us. We knew enough to honor him, to worship him, to thank him, but we didn't. We were born into our sin, and sin has permeated us through and throughout. We chose an alternative, we chose independence, we chose ourselves. And that's not just here in America, that is all around the world. And so we see there that first exchange, the exchange of God for substitutes, for idols. But then when you come to verse 24 down through verse 32, you see the second exchange, which is the exchange of God for sexual immorality. And we see in particular in verse 24 down through verse 27, here's what he says. Therefore, God gave them up in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Paul says in Romans chapter 1 and verse 21 that this is the problem with humanity. That although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. So understand this, that is the root of all of our sin. Every sin grows from that. Every culture collapses begins there. Every dark exchange starts with the exchange of the glory of God. And so Paul tells us here that when the human heart rejects the glory of God, it doesn't stop there. In other words, what happens is one exchange after another exchange after another exchange. One leads to another. When we exchange the worship of God for idols, we also exchange God's design for sexuality for something far outside of his will. Now that second exchange does not happen first. It's the result of the first one. The first one is rejecting, exchanging the glory of God for the things of this world. The first one happens first. And so when we turn away from the glory of God, everything else in life begins to unravel. When a person continually pushes away God's conviction, when a person continually pushes away the truth of God's word, when a person continually pushes away God's grace and says, "Leave me alone," eventually God says, "Okay," and lets them walk the chosen road that they've chose. Paul says, when humanity pushes aside God, he hands them over, and this is where we need to make sure we're looking at what the scripture is telling us here. He is not handing them over to his anger, to his wrath in that respect. He could. We deserve it. We deserve his judgment upon us. But notice he hands them over not to his anger, but to their own desires. And that's what makes this passage so relevant for today. Because what we're seeing today is not simply a cultural shift. What we're seeing is a spiritual reality. It is what happens when a society no longer wants God. The moral confusion that we see around us is not the cause of the problem. It's the evidence of a deeper spiritual rejection. And so the moment that the foundation shifts, the whole structure begins to collapse. And that's why the first exchange, this turning from God, is so important for us to understand. That's why we have to guard our hearts against idolatry of every kind, of putting anything else before God in our lives. Because every other form of brokenness that you could possibly list is rooted in this one reality. We have stopped worshiping the Creator and started worshiping what He created. This is one of those passages that is as relevant now as it was when Paul wrote it under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And it's a sobering word because it's a necessary word for the times that we live in. So I want to focus in this message this morning, as we finish up this passage, on those three key phrases in this passage. It's actually one phrase that Paul repeats three times. And he says those three times, God gave them over. God gave them over. God gave them over. Three times he says that phrase. Now, these aren't just words. They describe the terrifying reality of what happens when a person or even a society turns its back on God. Now, it's not that God is powerless to deal with the situation. He could very well just say, poof, you're done, you're out. It's not that He's indifferent. No, it's that in His holy wrath, God sometimes removes His restraining hand and lets us experience the full consequences of our rebellion. So understand that sin is not just breaking the rules. Sin is exchanging the glory of God for something that's lesser. And when you do that persistently, over and over and over, God says, you want it your way? Okay, have it. But that having it is going to lead to the downward spiral that will destroy your life, will destroy others' lives, will destroy families, and will even destroy nations. Today we're going to look at these three instances here where God gives over rebellious humanity. Each one shows a deeper level of judgment, and each one calls us to repentance. But we're also going to see, praise God, there is hope at the end, because the gospel can reverse all of that. So notice the first thing that God gave us over to, or gives them over to, is impurity. Impurity. You see that in verse 24 and verse 25. Again, especially there with verse 24. Therefore, God gave them up in the lusts of their hearts to impurity. We read those two verses a moment ago. So what led to this? Well, look back, if you will, to verse 18 to verse 23 that we started with, that we read through a moment ago. The wrath of God is revealed, we see in verse 18. In verse 19, for what can be known about God is plain to them. In verse 20, His invisible attributes, namely His power, His divine nature, have been clearly perceived. Verse 21, they knew God. Although they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give Him thanks. And then verse 22, they claimed to be wise, but they became fools, and they exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. And so Paul lays out for us there, Paul says that the wrath of God is revealed against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth. What truth? Not our truth. Not what we think is truth. You know, there's a lot of people who say, well, truth is relative. You can have your truth, I can have my truth. What is truth that he's talking about? The truth about God, that He is eternal, that He is powerful, that He is glorious, that He is revealed in creation itself. But instead of worshiping the Creator, people worship created things. He lists specifically here mortal man, things resembling mortal man, birds, animals, and creeping things. You think about all the images they would have had, molded, shaped images that they would have even in their homes. And we think about that and we say, shoo, that lets me off the hook. I don't have any of those at home. No, it doesn't let you off the hook. Because we all too often have connived and twisted to make our idols not those figures that we set on a shelf. Maybe it could be. It could be your TV on the wall. Could be your job. Could be your family. It could be so many different things that we exchange the glory of God for something that takes the place of God. And because of that, he says, I give them over to their impurity. Now, what does that mean? It means that God lifts his common grace that restrains sin. Because think about it. God could judge us right now and be just in doing that. He could allow judgment to come on America. He could allow judgment to come around this world. He could allow judgment to come upon you, and he would be just in doing that because the wages of sin is death. We deserve death. Now, that's not the end of the verse, and that's important for us to remember. We'll come to that in a moment. But notice, he lifts his common grace that restrains the judgment of our sin, and he allows their hearts, their lust, to just run wild. And that is exactly what we see today. What's the result? They dishonor their bodies. Sexual immorality, perversion, a breakdown in the natural order that God designed. So understand, we see this everywhere today. It's not just an American problem, it's a world problem. Our society, though, is saturated with impurity. You see it on billboards, you see it in movies, you see it on TV, you see it in the internet. On the internet, it's all pushing a message that says, do what feels good. Your body is your own. But let me tell you, that's a lie from the pit of hell. When we reject God as creator, we begin to lose sight of why he made us male and female, why he designed marriage as sacred. And God says, if you insist on suppressing my truth, I will let you sink in the impurity that you're craving. Now look at verse 24. Verse 24 is one of the most sobering statements in all of the New Testament. Verse 24, therefore God gave them up, gave them over. Now understand this. He doesn't do that because he stops caring. He still cares for you. He still loves you. He doesn't do it because he stops caring. He doesn't do it because he gets some pleasure or some delight out of judging us. Understand this, because the most severe judgment that God could allow in this life is to let a person have what they insist on having. God does not get any pleasure or delight in giving people this judgment. In fact, look at Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 11. He says to Ezekiel to say to the people, say to them, as I live, declares the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. What he's saying is, my desire is for you to live for eternity with me in heaven. He gets no pleasure in the death of the wicked. His pleasure, his desire is that the wicked would turn away from his way and live, that they would turn back from your evil ways. For why will you die? Why do you choose that, O house of Israel? So notice this giving over, this giving up to, is meant to wake us up. It's meant to show us how empty and how destructive our life and our choices are without him. Let me ask you this morning. Maybe you're here and have you been given over to impurity? Maybe it's not blatant immorality. Maybe it's just a heart that lusts after things more than God. The solution he's telling us here is to turn back. The solution is to confess our sin, to repent of our sin, to cling to Jesus Christ, who washes us with the precious blood, who purifies us from all unrighteousness. So that's the first thing we see that he says he gives them over to. Secondly, we see that God gave us and gave them over to dishonorable passions, not only to impurity, but dishonorable passions. So notice verse 26 and verse 27, and this is where it gets sensitive, especially with our young people. He says in verse 26, "For this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions. For their women exchanged natural relations for those that are contrary to nature. And the men, likewise, gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passion for one another, men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in themselves the due penalty for their error." So here again, the root is the same. Verse 25, they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and they worshiped the creature rather than the creator. In other words, they're worshiping each other, and especially, as we see here, of the same sex in their sexual relations. So God gave them over, not just to general impurity, but to passions that are dishonorable, contrary to nature. Now, this section here in Paul's letter in Romans chapter 1 and verse 24 to 28 is strikingly relevant, I said earlier, for us today, especially because it addresses the issue, the reality of homosexuality. The presence of homosexuality in society today is undeniable. And that would not surprise the Apostle Paul. It was there in his day. Nor should it surprise us. One of the things we see today in today's culture is the culture tries to push to justify homosexual behavior, even using Scripture itself. What they sometimes try to say is that Paul is talking about promiscuous or abusive acts like pedophilia rather than loving, committed same-sex relationships. Others say that Paul is criticizing heterosexual individuals who abandon the natural inclinations for the unnatural homosexual acts. There are all kinds of ways that they try to twist the Scriptures, but Paul tells us that it's sin, that it's unnatural, that it is contrary to nature. In other words, homosexual behavior is singled out here. Now, understand, we're going to get to 21 other sins that he's going to list. So homosexuality is not the only sin that there is. In other words, we need to look and make sure we understand it in Scripture. There is no sin that is greater than another. All sin is the same. But here's what we do need to understand about homosexuality and why he points it out here, why he separates it out from the other 21 that he lists in just a moment. He singles it out here because it is the most vivid outward picture of what has already happened inwardly, that we have turned from the glory of God to the images of ourselves. When the right ordering of worship is overturned, God says that the right ordering of our sexual lives will be overturned as well. So that the disorder in our heart